Thank you. You guys can have a seat. I'd like to thank Tom for allowing me to teach God's Word today. It's quite an honor and a privilege. It's wonderful to be out here before you guys. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to start in the book of Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And we're going to be in Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. Joshua 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Now where it says on the other side of the flood, this word was used for a stream. It included the sea, the Nile, the Euphrates. I believe in this, where we're at right now, this is talking about the Euphrates. This is where Abraham was called of God. He was living in Ur of the Chaldees, and the Euphrates was very close to that. Now let's skip down to verse 13. And this is Joshua talking to Israel. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and the olive yards which you planted not do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Now we're going to go, it's probably just a page over for you, we're going to go in the book of Judges. We're going to be in chapter 1. At this point, the tribes of Israel are continuing to go into the promised land. Verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. So this, at this point, these verses are talking about the tribes of Judah and Simeon. So verse 4. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they fought Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him. And they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. So they're believing God. They're doing a great job believing God. Verse 6. And Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. Thank God we don't do that today, right? Kind of interesting. By cutting off the toe or the thumbs, you wouldn't be able to, like, draw a bow or hold a sword. And then as far as cutting the great toes, that'd be our big toe, right? As far as cutting that off, it would be impossible to walk, I think. You couldn't pursue after someone, and you certainly couldn't run from someone. So that was very effective in this time. So let's keep on going. Verse 7. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their feet under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. This man was very powerful. He had conquered 70 kings, the commentaries say princes or whatever, and he had taken their towns or their territories. And where it says they gathered their meat under my table, a lot of the commentaries say that this meant that he fed them the scraps from his table. So they had to fight to get their food, and, you know, they're missing their thumbs and their big toe, and here they are. He's treating them like dogs. He wasn't a very nice man. And it says, at his end, he knew that God was the one that took care of him, because it says, let's see, as I have done, so God hath requited me. So God took him out, right? He deserved it. That's for sure. Verse 8. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, and they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. So at this point, Judah had fought against Jerusalem, and they had taken it, and they had smitten it with a sword and set it on fire. They were truly believing the words of God, and this is why they were going into this land and just expelling or taking care of these people. And this was only done by one thing, their own might, right? No, it was done by believing the words of God. They trusted God. Let's go to verse 17. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Sephoth, and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Homah. And Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Because they had chariots of iron. Okay. What changed? Weren't they coming in and they were driving out? They burnt Jerusalem. What changes? It wasn't God, was it? No. Let me read to you just the beginning of Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. What changed was, obviously, they started looking around. They started thinking, oh, surely, we can't believe God on this. They have chariots of iron. Deuteronomy 32:4, I'm going to read that. This is in the NIV. He is the rock. His ways are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. That's our Heavenly Father. He's upright and just. His ways are perfect. He loves us. He wants to take care of us. But he's so wonderful in that he never oversteps our freedom of will. He waits for us to believe. Let's go to chapter 20. It's not two. It's like one verse down. Sorry. Did I say chapter? I'm sorry, guys. Go back. Verse. Mike's always, I was working with him, and the whole time he'd say, stop saying that. He said, you're going to have people flipping all over the place. So we're still in Judges 1. I'll try to be better, guys. Judges 1, verse 20. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Does anybody know anything about the sons of Anak out here? They were giants. They were giants. Wow. Do you guys remember when the Philistines were fighting against the Israelites, and King Saul was the commander-in-chief then? And one man, Goliath, a giant, had the whole army of Israel scared to death. But what about Caleb? It just says he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Who cares if they're big? Who cares if they're giants? He believed God, didn't he? Now, I'd like to look a little more about Caleb. He's really a wonderful man of God, so we're going to go to Judges. Go back a little bit, chapter 14. Joshua 14, and we're going to start in verse 6. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Just to give you the background, this is talking about when they sent the 12 spies into the promised land. And out of the 12 spies, there were only two men who gave back a good report, and that, of course, was Caleb and Joshua. The other 10 brought an evil report of the land. They went into the land. They saw it was good. It was plentiful. The crops were unreal. They were huge. But this is what they had to say. But, and I'm just going to read this to you. You don't have to go there. Numbers 13:28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. I just love that Caleb just expelled the three sons of Anak. He just really believed that's all there was to it. Now, this got worse and worse with these 10 spies. They got to the point where they decided that they were going to get somebody to take them back to Egypt. Because remember how great it was when they were in Egypt? I mean, it really was, right? No, but that's what you start thinking. When you stop thinking about God, that's what can happen up here. We need to spend time with God in His Word and together as a body to keep ourselves out of the world. Verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereof thy feet, this is talking about Caleb, have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakins were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive out as the Lord had said. And this was before, and he did believe. Verse 13, And Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I want to continue looking at Joshua, and we're going to go to Numbers chapter 14, so go back a little bit. Numbers chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 22. This is God speaking here. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, I wanted to look up this where it said in verse 24, another spirit, and the Geneva Bible note says, another spirit is a meek and obedient spirit and not rebellious. Not like the children of Israel. We can't go into this promised land. Yeah, you can, if you're believing God. Now, where it says another spirit, it's not literally another spirit, but it's a different heart towards God. You know, you meet some people, some wonderful believers, and you notice how meek they are to the Word of God. That's what we want to be. That's the way we want to be. But we need to spend time with God and believe His Word. Now, I'd like to look at the tribe of Benjamin and see how they handled the inhabitants of the land. So we're going to go back to Joshua. We're going to be in chapter 18. Joshua 18, and we're going to read verse 28. This is actually a list of towns that were going to be the inheritance of the Benjamites. So in verse 28 it says, and Salah, Elpheth, and Jebusi, which is Jerusalem, Gibeath, and Kirjath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. I wanted you to see that one of Benjamin's inheritance is Jerusalem. We're going to go to Joshua 15, so go back to chapter 15, and we're going to read the last verse, which is verse 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. Now we're going to go back to Numbers. We're going to be back in Joshua, so if you want to keep your a marker or something. But we're going to go to Numbers chapter 33. And we're going to start in verse 50. Verse 50, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab. And this is God telling Moses to start out. Verse 50, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, that's like carved images, and destroy all their molten images, and quick pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. 55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the day wherein ye dwell. So you got two choices. Believe God or have, what is it, thorns and pricks? Doesn't sound very good, does it? All right, back to Joshua chapter 23. And this is Joshua reiterating Moses' instruction. And this is at the end of his life. Okay, Joshua 23. And we're going to start in verse 4. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot those nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand and to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain amongst you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. This really got me, and I remember this verse from years ago, and it just blew me away, where it said in verse 10, one man of you shall chase a thousand. I mean, maybe a man, a big man, maybe a giant, could chase 10 or 20, but can you imagine a thousand? That's God. That's nothing that man could ever do. That's God. That's cool. Very cool. Let's go back to Judges, chapter 1 and verse 21. Verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Now previously we read in Judges 1:8 that the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem, and that they had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. Now we read in Judges 1:21 that the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. Let me explain. Jerusalem was situated partly in the tribe of Judah and partly in the tribe of Benjamin. So the tribe of Judah took the portion of Jerusalem, but the tribe of Benjamin didn't drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. Why not? They weren't believing God, were they? It's like, what changed? Well, their thoughts and the ways that they looked at the Almighty God. Well, maybe he's done a lot. Maybe he can't do this. That's not God. In Judges 1:2, it said, God said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Surely God would help Benjamin too, right? He doesn't pick and choose. As a result of their unbelief, the Jebusites were not wholly expelled until the days of David. God said, drive them out. He didn't say, live with them, right? Not a good thing to do. Now, I'd like to look briefly at David. He's a wonderful man of God. We're going to go Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 4. Verse 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David could not come in hither. They were so confident, and they had been victors at keeping this Jerusalem. So they were saying, well, you can't even beat the lame. You can't beat the blind. How do you think you're going to come in here and take this? So verse 7, Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. Nevertheless, he believed God, didn't he? Yeah, big time. Let's go to, I'm going to read Acts 13:22 to you. And when he, this is God, had removed him, Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Wouldn't you love for God to feel that way about us? And he does. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And once again, David had this heart towards God. He was meek and he was not rebellious. David believed God. We can trust God. I don't care what is going on. We can trust him no matter what at any time. He wants to bless us. He wants us to believe his word. I'm going to read to you Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Samuel 22:31, I'll read it too. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's pure. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Now I want to look at somebody who really had a heart for God. They really trusted God. We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke, and Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 26. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Ooh, can you imagine? You're going to have the Son of God. That would freak me out if I wasn't believing God, right? Right? Okay, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she have also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. With God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know, there's a lot of people in our culture that don't even get married until they're in their mid-20s. Back then, they were really young. I mean, she was a teenager and probably around 12 or 13. I guess 12's not a teenager. But she was very young. And here, she's going to have the Son of God. And besides that, she's a spouse to Joseph. They haven't come together yet. So what are going to be the ramifications of her becoming pregnant? But the thing is, she believed the words the angel gave to her, and she took those to her heart. She was not rebellious. She believed. She believed God's word. Now down in verse 45, it says, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of these things which were told her from the Lord." And that's how good God is. He will perform his word. If we can just believe, God will take care of it. I'm going to read Hebrews 11:6 to you. "But without faith or believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now we're going to go to the Gospel of John, and we're going to start in verse 6. And verse 56, it's a long chapter. Just to catch you up as to what has happened, some of the things that happened earlier in this verse. This is after Jesus Christ fed the multitudes, he walked on the sea, and then he told the people that he was the true bread from heaven. John 6:56. "And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of the disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus, knowing himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray them. And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.' From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them. Then said Jesus unto the 12, 'Will you also go away?' Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou hast the words of eternal life.'" And they are words of eternal life. We don't need to go anywhere else. Peter knew that. "Thou hast the words of eternal life." There's no place else for us to go but God, right? We don't want to go to anybody else. We don't want to be part of this world. I'm going to read to you Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're not occupying a land like the children of Israel were. God has not told us to drive out the inhabitants of the land. But what he has told us to do is to drive out those thoughts. We must drive out those thoughts that are contrary to God and not allow those to occupy our minds. Remember in Joshua 23:14, it said, "Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you." I want those good things of God, don't you? We just need to remember, go to the Word, go to the Word. This is the true life. This is where life comes from. And, you know, we have been called in a body, so let's help one another, okay? Thank you, guys. God bless.
We're going to close with number 48, "I have decided to follow Jesus." number 48.
Bless.